And let me just say again, thank you for your support as a church, but also as individuals to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Your financial gifts support not only our work, but scores of other missionaries as they bear witness to Jesus Christ around the world.
7 years ago, we left Texas for Indonesia. Moving to Asia meant no more Taco Tuesdays, no more Smaltz sandwiches, and rarely any Dr. Pepper. We left family, friends, comfortable lives, and jobs behind. For some reason, we thought God wanted us to pack our bags, load up our toddlers, and make the 30-hour trip to the other side of the world. For some reason, we had the crazy idea that God still called his people to go, to embark as pilgrims, journeying to a new land, and to carry the good news to dark places.
And to be honest, in between flights 2 and 3, with 2 kids crying on my lap, there was some doubt. And to be honest, after a day of looking for houses and finding absolutely nothing which was suitable for our family and ministry, there was more doubt. But the kids adjusted quickly, much quicker than we did. And the second day of house hunting, we found the perfect home. A couple days later, after all the flights, taxis, and expenses of moving across the world to work with college students, we very literally had students walking up to our house to introduce themselves.
And so we've been there for the last 7 years, answering the call each day as students, neighbors, and friends enter our home to learn, to eat, to seek counsel, to fellowship, or to find comfort. In little and big ways, we try to witness to what we believe through our actions and our speech.
One of the first sermons I remember Eric preaching here at Dayspring included a humorous story of his introduction to the lectionary after having heard the same verses being preached across various ministries on his campus one day. About 6 weeks ago, after recording a lectionary sermon for our Indonesian church, I came to Dayspring the next day and heard the same passage preached. Reminded very quickly that Dayspring follows the lectionary, and knowing that we'd be preaching today, I panicked a bit as I looked forward to the lectionary passages for June 6. If you haven't looked at the lectionary for today, it's a doozy. It includes the Israelites' demand for a king, Adam and Eve hiding in the garden from God, and Jesus' family believing he was out of his mind and trying to restrain him. Now, besides a possible allusion to grandparents thinking we were out of our mind for taking their grandkids to the other side of the world and trying to restrain us, there wasn't much of a missionary theme among those texts.
And while Eric did extend us the freedom to preach from any text, the lectionary came through in the epistle reading from 2 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians usually gets all the airtime, but I'd highly suggest reading the whole chapter of 2 Corinthians 4 at some point this week, because it's a good one. D.A. Carson of the Gospel Coalition considers this chapter to form a biblical basis for missions. In the verses leading up to our lectionary reading, Paul is defending his ministry to the Corinthians. In doing so, he says that his ministry does not use deceptive tactics, does not distort the word of God, and sets forth the truth plainly.
Now, we all likely have an illustration in mind of deceptive evangelistic practices. And for me, I'm immediately reminded of being at a sporting event and seeing $20 bills folded on the ground in front of me. And if you were to pick one up, you would open it up to see it was nothing more than a Bible tract. Then there are the charlatans of our day and days gone by who distort the word of God in such that if you fill our pews, if you fill our coffers, then you will find prosperity and wealth and health. Even more damaging are the distortions of the gospel, which have served to repress and oppress the very peoples to whom God calls us.
Each Thursday night in Indonesia, college students and young adults fill our home for Bible study. Everyone who walks in the door knows in advance that we're there to study the Bible. And yet, agnostics, atheists, Muslims, and Hindus, along with all varieties of Christians, make their way into our home. There's been no deception. They know Michael and I are ministers and that we have come and have come knowing full well what we are doing. We read the Bible together in English and individually in several different languages given the international nature of our group. We even talk of the call of Christians to share their faith. Speaking one evening of how we might share with our Muslim neighbors, a Muslim girl in the group said, "This could really work." As Christians, we shouldn't hide who we are. We should live our lives plainly for all to see. As Paul says, carrying the treasure of the gospel in jars of clay, allowing the light of the gospel to shine even through our brokenness.
A couple of months ago, YouTube's algorithms decided for some reason that I wanted to watch more police body cam footage. And I'm not sure where the algorithms came up with that, but I nevertheless, in times of boredom, have found myself watching interactions between the police and the public, some good, some bad, and some in between. As I've watched these videos, I've realized just how crucial the role of witnesses can be. Witnesses at the crime scene or at the scene of an accident can make or break some of these interactions. And what's been really interesting to me is how many people, for whatever reason, are simply unwilling to share what they saw. They just don't want to get involved.
Speaking of the gospel, Paul says, "We believe, and therefore we speak." It's as simple as that. Paul, as a witness to Christ's love, grace, and transformative power, feels he must speak. It is his answer to the questions he poses in Romans 10, where he asks, "How then can anyone call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" We believe, so why don't we speak?
In his book, The Reluctant Witness, Don Everts shares his own story of wrestling through the fear of having spiritual conversations. He also shares research from the Barna Group showing that we, both as Christians and as a culture, are having fewer and fewer spiritual discussions. We're talking about Jesus and the Bible less and less. And we're simply afraid and uncomfortable having these spiritual discussions.
We believe, but we're afraid. We believe, but we're uncomfortable. We believe, but we don't speak.
In a way, we have it easy in Indonesia. Rarely do I sit in a taxi or an Uber and not have a spiritual discussion with the driver of some sort. It's not because I'm a missionary. It's simply that because even though religion in Indonesia is a source of strife and conflict more so than it is in the U.S., it's not taboo to talk about one's faith. One of the findings in Everts' books is that we, even as Christians, approach religious conversations in the same way as our surrounding culture.
We don't speak. Is it that we don't believe? Do we not believe what we've seen and heard? Do we not believe that the gospel is good news? Do we not believe that this truth is light for a dark world? Do we think that the world is too blind to the gospel to ever believe? Have we forgotten that Jesus opens the eyes of the blind? Believe and speak.
On a bus between Afghanistan and Pakistan to visit his sister, Ahmed sat next to an elderly Christian man. Although Christians are heavily persecuted in both nations, the Christian man spoke of his faith on that bus ride, even with strangers being able to overhear their conversation. Ahmed was intrigued, but returning to Afghanistan a week later, there was no option for him to learn more about Christianity. In his village, there were no Christians. There were no churches, no Bibles. 2 years later, fleeing the Taliban, who had killed his father and threatened his life, Ahmed landed in Indonesia as a refugee. In yet another Muslim-majority country, Ahmed met more Christians when they visited his immigration detention center. They believed and they spoke. Ahmed believed in turn, was baptized, and now he speaks. When Ahmed arrived to our city, he didn't come to our Bible study alone, but instead brought other refugees to hear the good news.
In the lives of Ahmed and so many others, it wasn't one conversation. It wasn't one person that led him to believe. Instead, Christians believing and speaking, even in places where it is forbidden, planted seeds that were watered by others and given life by the Spirit, bearing fruit only years later.
In addition to our Indonesian students, we have our fair share of British and Australian students who are sometimes harder to understand because of their unique variations of English slang. A common phrase we hear from our fellow Anglophones is, "I can't be bothered to do XYZ," or "I can't be bothered to go this place or that." To us as Americans, the phrase, "I can't be bothered," sounds incredibly rude and self-centered. In reality, it just means they're admitting they're too lazy to do something or simply don't want to go somewhere. But I wonder if part of why we as Christians don't speak is that we simply can't be bothered. We don't want to deal with the awkwardness, the discomfort, the rejection, or our fears of having spiritual conversations.
Contrast this to what Paul says. "We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Light and momentary troubles? Paul shares with the Corinthians later in chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, some of these light and momentary troubles he's faced. He writes, "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open ocean. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked."
Paul suffered all of this for the sake of the gospel. More so, Christ died on account of our sins so that we might have life, and that we might be witnesses to his life and his truth. But we can't be bothered to speak. Perhaps it is because we have deceived ourselves. Perhaps it is we who have distorted the gospel. We have forgotten the call to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, the call of Paul to waste away in the hopes of eternal glory. We have forgotten the call to give up our life for something bigger than us. Or as Paul might say, we've fixed our eyes on that which is seen rather than the unseen. We've focused on the temporary rather than the eternal.
Dayspring, we believe, and so we must speak. The book of Acts records the birth of the church. Jesus tells his followers in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses." As we come out of this pandemic, as we enter again into relationships and social networks that once were or will soon be, I pray that we each hear this call to be witnesses. To be witnesses in your home, your neighborhood, your workplace. To be witnesses in Woodway, Hewitt, McGregor. To be witnesses in Waco, in Texas, the U.S., and even to Indonesia. To be witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Believe in the unseen glory of God's grace and speak of his eternal love. Amen.